If we could all step into the water just one step at a time. Well, we're all in store for a blessing tonight with Brandon Cook. He's going to bring us something special from God's Word. I'm looking forward to that. Brother Brandon.
I turned it on right this time, I hope. Turn over in your Bibles to Leviticus chapter 25. I just got back from Pennsylvania. It's a little different up there. People are meaner up there. I didn't realize that until I'd lived down here for a long time. People were not very nice up there, but it was good to see the parents again. And even though they made me sleep in the camper instead in the house, they weren't very nice either. But I got to meet the girlfriend's family again and hang out with them for a while, and we had a great Christmas. It was great. In Leviticus chapter 25 and verse 1, it says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses in Mount Sinai, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, When you come into the land which I give you, then shall you keep the Sabbath unto the Lord. 6 years shalt thou sow thy field, and the 6 years shalt thou prune thy vineyard, and gather fruit thereof. But in the 7th year shalt be a Sabbath of rest to the land, and a Sabbath for the Lord. And neither shalt thou sow thy field, nor prune thy vineyard, which groweth of its own accord, of thy harvest shalt thou not reap, neither gather the grapes of the vine undressed, for it is the year of rest in the land. And the Sabbath of the land shall be meat for you, for thee and thy servant, and for thy maid and thy hired servant, and for thy stranger that sojourneth with thee, and the cattle, and for the beasts that are of the land, and the increase thereof shall be meat. And thou shalt number 7 Sabbaths of the year unto thee, and 7 times 7 years, and a space of the 7 years, in a space of 7 Sabbaths of years, shalt thou be to thee 49 years. And thou shalt cause the great trumpet of Jubilee to sound the 10th day of the 7th month. In the day of atonement shall ye make the trumpet sound throughout all the land." I really need glasses, I'm sorry. "And thou shalt hallow the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. And it shall be a jubilee unto you. And ye shall return every man his possession, and shall return every man unto his family. And a jubilee that 50th year shall be unto you. Ye shall not sow, neither reap that which groweth of itself in it, nor gather the grapes in thy vineyard undressed. For it is a jubilee, and shall be holy unto you. And ye shall eat the increase thereof out of the field. In the year of Jubilee ye shall return every man his possession. And if thou sell, thou art thy neighbor, or buyest, thou art the neighbor's hand. Ye shall not oppress one another. According to the number of years after the Jubilee shalt thou buy of thy neighbor, according to the number of years, and the fruits shall sell unto thee. According to the multitudes of the years shalt thou increase the price thereof. According to the fewness of the years thou shalt diminish the price of it. For according to the number of years the fruit of the fruits doth he sell unto thee. Ye shall not therefore oppress one another, but thou shalt fear God, for I am the Lord your God." Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for this day. I thank you for all the blessing you've given us, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for this new year you're about to give us, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you'd help us, Lord, in it, Lord. That remember that it is yours, Lord, and that you are our Lord and our God, that we'd honor you with it. I pray that you'd be with me, Lord. I pray that you'd fill me with your Holy Spirit, Lord, that out of this, that your word wouldn't return to you void as you promised, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Now, Moses is still on the mountain, and God's given him a set of rules. He's given him the Ten Commandments. He's giving them guidelines for what he wants them to do. And he's talking about the 7-year Jubilee here. We already know the Sabbath is the 7th day of the week. It was the day of rest for the Jews. They would rest that day, and it would help them, and then they would start the next week. It was kind of a reset button there. They'd work and toil all throughout the week, and the last day would be a Sabbath. And they would stop their work, and they'd reflect on God, and it would be a day of rest. But God takes it a step further here, and he says that every 7 years we're going to have a Sabbath, and it's going to be an entire year where we don't work anymore. So they work those six years, and at the end, they're not allowed to work anymore in the field, they're not allowed to plow the field, they're not allowed to get anything out of the field. Because God let the land rest. As we know nowadays, that's needed if you're a farmer. You can deplete the soil if you do that. But more importantly, this is set up to be a special time where they trust in God. They work those 6 years, and their Gentile neighbors and say, "Well, why aren't you planting anything this year?" And they say, "Well, God, we've dedicated this year to God, and He's going to take care of us." And He did. He said on that sixth year, they always got three times what they normally get. But only if they obeyed God and they honored His Sabbath and it was holy unto them. They weren't allowed to go into the field. Whatever grew in the field, sometimes just wild things would grow in the field. They could probably harvest and eat, but God said, "No, you're going to leave it alone." People that had vineyards pretty much can grow themselves for a while, and they weren't allowed to touch it. They were only allowed to eat what God gave them back in those 6 years. And if they obeyed God, God would take care of them. But then God takes it a step further, and He said, "Now every 7 years we're going to have a Sabbath, an entire year where we're not going to work, and you're just going to let me take care of you. And if you obey me, I'm going to take care of you." But He said, even further than that, He said, every 7 years, we're going to multiply that by seven. So after the 49 years, we're going to have a 50th year, and we're going to have that, and we're going to call it the year of Jubilee, where everything is reset. Not just the ground, not just the land, not just the week, like normal Sabbath on Saturday, but I'm going to reset everything. Not only am I going to take care of you, I'm going to let you be able to do things over. Now, during that time period, if you got behind in your finances and you couldn't work anymore, or you got laid off, you could sell your land, and then they'd take that land, but at the end of the 50th year, you'd get that land back because it was your inheritance. That means it's yours. You can't lose it. You can sell it, but you'd eventually, at the end of those 50 years, at that year of Jubilee, you'd get it back. So land's value, as it talks about here, was based on whether or not they're close to that year of Jubilee. So in the 48th year, your land's not going to be worth very much. Because on the 50th year, the year of Jubilee, you're going to get it back. But it went further than that. They could also sell themselves into slavery or as servants or whatever. If you got behind, if you got in big trouble, you could sell yourself or you could sell your family. But in the end of that 50 years of Jubilee, everybody was set free. Everyone. So I can imagine, like you said there, that Jubilee was important. It was a holy day. It was a holy year. People were excited about that. Imagine if you were in slavery for 50 years. As it gets closer and it gets closer, it gets more exciting, You're ready to be free. So it was important. Not just because you get let free, not because you just get your land back, your inheritance, but I imagine you wouldn't see very many of them. It's only every 50 years. I'd be set, if I was sold into slavery right now, I wouldn't be let go until I was 74. God would give me a do-over. He'd let me get my life back. And then it would be mine to mess up. Kind of like what we have with salvation. Except we're not going to have to pay for the penalty of sin. But God gave them their lives back and He gave them their inheritance back. And it was theirs left for them to mess up. I think it'd be pretty sad to say, "Well, Brandon just got out. He's 74 years old. He can barely walk. But he's finally gotten out. And he can go back to his own land." They've given him not just set him free to wander the streets. They've given him his land back and everything that was his. Just not just the land, not just my freedom, but all my possessions, anything I've ever sold was given back to me. Because I inherited it from my father. That means it's mine. And I get it back in that year of Jubilee. And then you find out 2 days, even 2 years later, "Oh, Brandon didn't take care of his stuff. Brother Brandon is going back into slavery. And he's not going to see the next year of Jubilee. He's messed it up." So it was sacred to them because not only did God provide for them every 7 years, if they obeyed Him, He provided for them. He also took care of them in other ways. He let them have a do-over. He gave them their lives back. He made everything new and fresh in their lives. But you're not going to see that many. Even if you lived a really, really long time, you're probably only going to see 2 Jubilees at the most. So it was sacred to them. It was a time of do-over. We see a lot of do-overs in the Bible. If you go over to Genesis 8:13, we see Noah. Genesis 8:13, it says, And it came to pass in the 600th of the first year, in the first month of the first day of the month, the waters were dried up from off the earth, and Noah removed the covering of the ark and looked, and behold, the face of the ground was dry. Well, there's your first new year. That's the only one I could find. God said when they got off the ark, after He had taken the earth, which was full of sin and debauchery, and it was a stench in His nostrils, He took it and destroyed it and made it over again. He said, alright, this is the new year. This is your time to start over. All the sin is gone. All the wicked people are gone. Only the people I've chosen are there. And you've worked for this day. They worked 150 years around to get this ark ready for God to save them and bring them back to this new earth that He created and done over. And He said, it is new, it's for you, and it's here just for you. It's here for you to mess up, which has got to be a pretty big responsibility. It's here for you to mess up. There's nobody else that's going to be their fault for it being messed up. It's only you. And later on we see that Noah gets drunk and he messes up. What I wanted to show you here is that we have a lot of do-overs in here. We have a lot of resets. The reason we have a new day every day is because we need it. I've had so many days where I'm laying in bed and I realize, man, there's so many things I've done wrong today. I wish I could take back, but I can't. All I can do is be ready for tomorrow when I can start again and I can start anew. And thank God that He gave me that. And He gave us a week because we need it. At the end of this preaching, I'm going to need a new week. So think about what I can do next time I get to preach. He gave us a new year, and that's what we're getting ready to celebrate now. I mean, I've never celebrated anything big. The biggest new year I ever had, besides a watch night service at church, was I was sick in New Year's when I was a little kid, and my mom felt bad for me, so she took our old camping tent and put it up in the living room, and we watched the New Year ball drop down in that tent. Which is really hard because the flap kept getting in the way. But it was fun to me. And we got to look outside in the backyard and we saw fireworks going off. And I thought that was the coolest thing as a little kid. And that was New Year to me. And a lot of people, New Year's is a time of doing things that they shouldn't be doing. Getting in a lot of trouble. That's the way, not the way you should start a new year. I've always had a watch night service where we pray in the New Year's. Because it's important to us. A lot of people set New Year's resolutions. My father's pastor in Pennsylvania, he said that his little girl's resolution last year was that she wasn't going to drink out of a yellow cup. And you think, okay, whatever. The important thing is they have yellow cups in their house, otherwise it wouldn't matter. But that was her New Year's resolution as a little girl. She set that and she wasn't going to do it. And she's kept it. And you think, well, that's not that big, but she's kept a commitment. And there's been a lot of fights in his house because she won't drink out of the yellow cup. And that's the only one that's left washed. And she ain't going to drink out of it. But she's kept a commitment. And if she can keep something that small, I think in this new year we can do something for God. We can do something better. This new year's coming. And it's ours to mess up. Where are you going to be in that? There's one more new year I wanted to show you. Let me turn over to it. In Exodus chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, it says, And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. And we know this part in Exodus was the first Passover. This is the night that they put the blood over the posts of the door. And death passed over the land. And they were freed that night. And God said, this is a new year for you. He took them out of bondage that night. He said, all right, we're going to go to a new land. I'm going to take you out of bondage. And I'm going to take you to a land I promised you and have prepared for you. A land of milk and honey where you don't even have to plow the fields. They're already set. It's ready for you to take. But all you have to do is follow me. This is a new beginning and I'm giving it to you. It's free. You can have it. All you have to do is follow me. And we know that didn't last very long. They wasted their new beginning. We can see where our world is now. Noah had a new year. He had a new beginning. And we wasted that. And I can think of 100 different things that I've wasted in 2009. I've looked back in old pictures and stuff and seen people I haven't seen in a bunch of years. And I only saw them for a little bit in 2009, and I've seen their lives change. I've seen my life change. But God's going to give me a do-over tomorrow. He's going to give me a reset tomorrow. And it's up to me to mess up. Nobody else. I can sit here and feel sorry for myself for all the things that have gone wrong in 2009. Or I can think about 2010. In 2010, I haven't missed a visitation. I haven't missed church one time. In 2010, I haven't had a bad, evil thought about anybody. In 2010, I haven't lost my temper. In 2010, I haven't seen or thought or done anything that would displease the Lord. In 2010, I'm a good Christian. In 2010, I know how to preach. In 2010, I'm right with God. And it's mine to mess up. In 2010, it's yours to mess up. But we don't have to wait until then. God's given us a new day tomorrow. What are you going to do with it? It's yours to mess up. I know the greatest reset the Lord ever gave me is when He saved me. I was a sinner and I was in prison by my sin. I knew that I was on my way to hell because not just because of the things I do, because I've sinned, but because I am a sinner. Because of my placement in God's eyes, I deserve to go to hell, and He let me free. He died in my place so I could go to heaven. He took my feet out of the miry clay and set my feet on a rock so I could live for Him. And I know in 2009 that I've displeased Him. I know that just today, there's things I've done wrong that I'm not proud of. There's things I could have done better that I failed in. But God's given me a brand new day tomorrow to do it all over again. A lot of times I don't think we realize how special that is. That we're not going to have very many more of those. I've had 8,700 of them, over 8,700 of them already. Days that God's given me a chance since I've been born to live for Him. 8,700. How many chances have you had? And what have you done with them? When you get to heaven, you're not going to have any excuse. So what have you done for me? What have you done? Not only did I say if you obeyed me, I'd take care of you, but I've given you second chance after second chance. I've given Brandon Cook 8,700 chances to witness to somebody. I've given him 8,700 chances to live for me, to encourage somebody, to read the Bible. What have you done with it? God's giving you another chance tomorrow. He's giving you another chance tonight to get that right and say, tomorrow, I'm going to live that new day. It's going to be a year of jubilee for me. I've already been freed from my sin if I'm saved. But I want to serve Him. I want to do better. I want to do things right. I heard about a lady that had taken it even a step further. She actually set her watch for every hour. Not just every day, every hour. Her watch beep, and she would sit there, and whether she was at work, at home, with her grandkids, whatever she was doing, she would pray and say, Lord, I haven't served You this hour. I pray that You'd forgive me and that You'd help me to serve You this hour. And after a while, she broke it down to half an hour. Wouldn't it be great to serve God every half hour? How many chances you got then? Don't be discouraged by 2009, what's going on there. We've seen a lot of things just going on in our nation. We don't need to be discouraged by that. Realize that God's given us a new tomorrow. He's given us that reset because we need it. Because we couldn't make it without Him. He knows that we're sinners. He knows that we can't do it without Him. And we try so many times. That's why He gave it to us. Now, if I was back in the old days and I'd finally got my freedom, I'm 74 years old, I think it'd mean something to me. I'd realize that I don't want to go back to the way things used to be. I don't want to go back to being in slavery where my land is not my own, where I can't serve who I want to serve. When I get out of there, I'm going to do things differently. You have tomorrow. You have tonight. You have 2010 to serve God and do things right. What are you going to do with it? It's yours to mess up. Realize it's special. God's given it to you. You didn't have to do anything to get it. He's given you another chance to do right. Another chance to say, all right, this year, I'm going to read my Bible every day. This year, I'm going to actually go to visitation. Some of us don't even go. This year, I'm going to win somebody to the Lord. This year, I'm going to see something different in my life for Jesus Christ. This year, I'm going to see my family get saved. This year, I'm going to do something for the Lord. I'm going to start a Sunday school class. I'm going to do something for the Lord. It's yours to mess up. You don't know how many more do-overs you're going to get. Make it special to you. What are you going to do this year? Forget about New Year's resolutions, about how much weight you're going to lose or whatever. Make it special. Make a commitment to God. Otherwise, you're just going to be like everybody else. It's a new year. For the first week, we're going to write 2009 on our checks and cross it out and write 2010. And things are just going to go on as normal. And when you get to heaven, He's going to say, what have you done with all the chances I gave you to serve? What have you done? What did you do in 2009? Are you pleased with it? I'm not. You think God's pleased with your life or what you did in 2009? I don't. I don't know why He's given me 2010. For some of us, we might not even get that. We don't know. We only have now. We only have here. What are you going to do with that? You're not promised tomorrow. You're not promised tomorrow to please God, to serve God. And if you're not saved, if you don't know you're on your way to heaven tonight, you're not promised tomorrow's next breath. God's giving you tonight to come before Him and say, Lord, I'm a sinner and I deserve to go to hell right now. But I know that You died on the cross for me, so I wouldn't have to go there. And I'm tired of fighting it. I'm tired of trying to make my own way. I'm tired of the life I'm living. I want to start afresh and new. I want to get saved. I want to go to heaven when I die. I want You to change my life around. Tonight you have that opportunity. I don't know if you have it tomorrow. Tonight you have the opportunity to get right with the Lord. I don't know if you have tomorrow. Is God pleased with your life today? Do you know you're going to heaven today? Or are you going to put it off till tomorrow? Let today be the day. I'm going to ask Brother Clark to come and do the invitation because I'm not very good at it. But I know that I'm not where I need to be, but I know in 2010 I can be. I know that tomorrow I can be, if I get it right tonight. Now, I don't want you to come forward just to make yourself feel better. I do that a lot. I come here and I talk to the Lord, and when I get up, nothing changes. I want you to come forward and tell the Lord, I want to do this different. And then get up tomorrow and have an altar in your house, in your home, and make a decision then, again, the new day, to do something different. And then tomorrow, and the next day, and the next day. I don't want you to just feel better. I want you to be better. But I can't do it for you. You have to come before the Lord and say, Lord, I'm not pleased with my life this year, but I'd like to do it better tomorrow. Please, if You give me one more chance, You give me one more shot, I'll do it better. Just like in that year of Jubilee. You don't know if you're going to get another one. Do what you can with it now.
Amen. Only what we do for the Lord has any lasting impression. The things that we do here on earth, the marks that we make here, are going to be left here. It's only what we do for the kingdom of God that is everlasting. And that's a great challenge for the year 2010. Is to, you know, I've told y'all before, I made a list. You know, friends of mine, relatives that I knew was lost or had the suspicion they were lost and just went and settled it. Just went bowled right up to them and asked them, you know, where are you at with it? And that's a good challenge. You know, make 2010 the year that you do something for the Lord. Something more. I'm not I'm not happy with my 2009 either, or my 2008, or 7s, or anywhere back, but we've all got next year. And it starts right now. Starts right now.